There we go. This morning, holding a hearing on a code enforcement appeal, COM 24-00187, for some alleged tree removal violations. Already gone over hearing procedures with the appellant by email a little bit. The city has the burden of proof here, of course, so it gets to go first and present its case. Then the appellant's going to have an opportunity to respond, and then the city has a chance for a rebuttal. At this point, though, I just want to ask Mr. Muir, is that how to pronounce your last name? Is it Termuer? Is that correct? Oh, okay. I just to know, you know, how we should proceed today. Are you contesting the fact that you removed move the trees, or are you just here to explain, you know, why that was done, basically? We'll need you to go up to the mic to be recorded. And are you Mr. Tamir, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
So it's I don't know, I've never been through this. I just want you to bear with me. I don't have this experience. So at this point is the fine and the process, the time. So
yes. Well, I guess, you know, like I said, the first question is, I mean, are you disagreeing that the trees were removed, or are you just, what kind of explain, you know, why that happened?
The trees has been removed.
Okay, so you acknowledge that the trees have been removed. And I know from reading the city materials that there's already been a permitting decision issued that determined that the trees were removed, and that a couple of them, you know, the city position is shouldn't have been removed, that they weren't, you know, adequately diseased for removal or something of that nature. So since we're really just, so we're just talking about really what's called a mitigation hearing today, is you're explaining why the fine should be reduced or shouldn't be applied at all. And that changes the format a little bit. That means you get to go first then and explain, you know, why you think the fine should be reduced. But before we get to that point, though, I do want to get the city records into the, or city exhibits into the record, just so they kind of substantiate what occurred there. And Mr. Tremere, I take it, did you receive all the city exhibits? This would be a packet of information. And I'm going to, does the city have an exhibit list? I don't recall if they had an actual list of all the documents they wanted to be made part of the record. Let's see what you got here. Just don't remember if there's something in the staff report or something that had a list of, that listed all the documents. Oh, okay, there we go.
The bottom of the staff report, there should be a list.
Okay, all right. Maybe can we flash that up on the screen? That would be page 6 of the staff report.
It'll be 1 minute.
Okay, sure.
I mean, if that's, you know, can't do it, that's fine. I think I can do without putting it on. Oh, looks like we're almost there.
Okay, and yeah, it's PDF page 8. It's the exhibit list. And Mr. Chmura, I just wanted to confirm that you received all the documents that are pertinent to this appeal hearing, which is the staff report and then these attachments. As you can see, quite a lot of documentation on your case. I mean, did you receive all these documents at some point?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And do you have any problems with them being part of the record in terms of relevancy or authenticity?
No.
Okay, all right. I'll go ahead and admit the staff report and exhibits 1 through 21, just so we're working off the same information, because all the information I have about this case is essentially based on these documents here. So that way we know what we're talking about. So yeah, at this point, Mr. Timmer, let me just swear in, just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. And like I said, I mean, I think I sent you and your wife an email that kind of listed the factors pertinent to figuring out if fines, you know, should be reduced. And I mean, it's ultimately, it's just kind of a fairness issue, you know, are you a knowing violator, where there's circumstances that kind of forced your hand on the issue, that kind of thing. So
yeah, I do have a problem with the violation part, but let's start with where we are, because I cannot go back, and I just want to try to salvage as much as I can from the situation. So when it comes to the fine and proving that, I don't think I did anything wrong. I have documents showing the steps that I did. Now, the arborist report, Mr. Coy didn't accept. That's a, it's debatable. So then when it comes to liking trees or being against the trees, I have I submitted the property to be developed, and I put that I'm going to put 13 trees on the property. So I don't have a problem with that. Two, I cut the tree because it was in danger. Now, when it comes to the fine, I don't think I don't accept, because I don't think I did something wrong. Now, I think we should come to a middle to make, I'll put the trees, remove the fine, and let me go on with the property. Right now, the fine is very high. Number one, I don't think I did any violation of the city. You can guys look in my record. I tried to submit comply with the law at all the time. Right now, at this time, I have four kids in college. That cost me a lot, $20,000 to be getting out of my pocket. That, it's a lot of money. So, and like I said, I can put the trees, restore the land of vegetation and stuff like that. But with the steps that I took and all this, I don't think I should pay the fine. So,
Okay. And why were the trees removed? I don't have a lot of background on that. I mean, were you developing something on your property, or did you just find the trees to be a, you know, hazard to your house, or what was going on
the
there?
development property started just a few months after the trees were cut down.
Oh, I see.
So
Okay. So the
what
property was vacant before, and this was part of a
I have a
development
tenant
project?
on the property, and I have a letter stating I'll be very brief how it all started.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna
So
do that.
I can give you a paper if you want me to.
Yeah, that's fine. Do you have copies for the city staff as well? Yeah, if you could. Oh, you already, they already have it. Okay. Great, thank you.
So I'm gonna.
Okay, and you said the city staff already have these as well, is that correct? Okay.
Actually, was this one more miss, but I'll be very.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
So the tenant asked me to cut the tree, and he's stating the reason why. So I wasn't really into it. So he took the first step and contact an arborist report. So the arborist report made this report and gave it to him along with another letter that was done later. But the arborist report gave us a report why the tree should go down. So when I saw that, I've been having this tenant for the last, what, 12 years in on my property. I wanted to make him happy, and I saw the reason. I contacted a company to come and look at it. They looked at it, and they said, yes, it's in danger. So the tenant was afraid of having the tree over there. The arborist report came, said, it's in danger. The tree company came look at it. Yes, it's in danger. So I took the tree down. So based on this, I don't think I. The only thing is I did not apply for the permit, which I didn't know. I thought that you can cut a tree on a a year, but the document shows that I did the right thing from what I knew. So the tree came down. 2 or 3 months later, I saw a development down the street about cottage homes, and then I said, man, I think I should do this. So I applied. And then they looked over it, and I said, there's no trees. They looked back. Yes, there's trees. I said, yes, it's been cut. Let me show you what it was. So now, if I were to make some wrongdoings on the development, that it's, I mean, there's another letter. Well, I'll give it to you. There's four cottages. One of the cottages is right where the tree is. So I would have been illegally to take the tree down with no problem. So if I knew at that time, I showed that I can plant trees and the tree would have been legally taken down anyway. So that's why I don't think I should pay the fine. I don't think I did something wrong. So at the time, I was not aware that I'm going to do the development, but the proof shows all this stuff. And then the tree on one of the tree, you can see it's rotten. I see Mr. Coy wants more pictures. I don't have. That's the only picture that I saw. And when he showed that picture, even Samantha's supervisor, I think it's John Regatta, looked at the and some other thing. And common sense looks, the tree is going to go down. Mr. Coy said, the tree would have been standing for another few years, but would have gone down because it's sick. So even though I showed some of the evidence, looks like it's not enough for the city. I'm not going to go why and all that, but I think I can prove it to that I was right in what I was doing. And then that's why I don't think I should be penalized by doing the right thing.
Okay. So it sounds like, I mean, you're not contesting you took the trees down, but you are contesting the fact that the tree should have was diseased enough to be taken down.
Correct.
That you do, you okay, all right.
And I can plant the trees because of their value. So the city is not going to be disadvantaged or the nature because the tree is going to be planted, but paying $20,000, it's a lot of money. And like I said, right now, having four kids in college, paying all this, it's a bigger burden on me.
And you had, it looks like you, I mean, when you say you cut the tree down, you didn't do that yourself, right? You relied upon, was it this Evergreen Tree Care? Are they the company that cut it down for you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And they didn't tell you you needed a permit to cut the tree down?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because I showed him the arborist report. I looked, you know, and said, he looked at the tree and I said, they need to go down. Mm-hmm. And I was able to apply for the permit after the fact, which I did. I showed the proof, but it wasn't denied. And even though there's some of the emails that I got some hopes that I can apply, but the time has, but I'm not going to go into that, but I can explain that too. That's why I think I did the right thing, and I don't think I should be penalized by doing the right thing.
Okay, I got you. I'm going to ask questions of the city real quick, and then I'll get back to you. So I noticed the city had mentioned that Mr. Schmer had applied for a tree permit, and it was denied, and it was not appealed. So is the city taking the position that since that tree permit was not appealed, that the issue of whether the trees were adequately diseased to be removed and removed can't be contested because he failed to appeal? Is that right? Okay. All right. Yeah,
can
that's
I,
just one.
Can
reason.
I add something to the appeal?
Sure.
So the appeal was ending, I think, on a Friday. And I have the email exchange with Mr. Coy.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, he said that I have until Monday by 5 o'clock. Because I was working with the tree company to give me more proof. And he was so busy, couldn't do it. And by Monday, he said, on Thursday, on email, Mr. Coy said, you have until Monday by 5 o'clock to contest it. So on Monday, and I said, can you please give me another extra day? Because the guy couldn't make it. And he said, on Monday, he said, yes, but the appeal ended on Friday. And I look, on Thursday, you say that I have until Monday by 5, and now you're saying that it's expired. So, and then they said, you still have another chance to go to a hearing examiner.
Mm.
I didn't know. I thought it's the same thing. And I went along. I said, fine. And I talked to Mrs. Samantha. I said, you have another chance. I appreciate it. Only later, I found out that it's totally different stuff. So here I am that it's closed. Mm. But I thought, on Thursday, I have until Monday. On Monday, he says, when I asked for another day, he said, no, it ended on Friday.
Well, can the city respond to that? Who was?
With the timeline.
And I will need your name for the record.
Oh, yeah. Samantha Condon.
Okay, Ms. Condon, let me swear you in. You swear firm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I can't speak necessarily to the timeline of the appeal for the tree permit. That would be the development review arborist, McCoy. But I can speak to the subsequent conversations about what this hearing would be about.
So. Okay. Yeah, it's I mean, I from a legal standpoint, I would agree. I looked at the tree permit, and you know, if it wasn't timely appealed, you can't recontest those issues. Now they call it collaterally attack, but there is there's also a doctrine called equitable tolling, where if the city misdirects someone on an appeal deadline and they you know fail to miss it because of that reason, then the appeal could have been extended. So that is kind of a pertinent issue. And you're saying you don't have the person here today who could.
Tim is here.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chit, what's your name again, sir? Oh, Mr. Coy. Yeah. Maybe could I put you under oath and if I get some little information on your conversation you had with Mr. Tremere about the appeal deadline. Let me swear in. Just swear firm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding.
I do.
Okay. And your last name is Coy, is that correct?
Coy.
Pardon?
Coy.
Okay. All right, Mr. Coy. So Mr. Tamur says you told him that the appeal was going to be the following Monday, and then once it was Monday, he was told that the appeal period had expired. Is that the way you recollect that conversation happened?
I remember this got a bit messy as far as the appeal process went. I think we actually extended the appeal process by more than what was indicated in the permit, because there had been some back and forth discussions. But per the letter of the permit, I believe that Friday actually might not have been for the permit. We might have extended it to that Friday, and then had no further appeal by that time.
Okay, because I think what Mr. Tremer said is that the appeal deadline was Friday, and you told him it was Monday, but you don't recall ever saying it was Monday?
I believe that we told him he could submit more evidence if he had it, but the official appeal period did expire on that Friday.
Okay, so you don't recall ever saying the appeal period was Monday?
The appeal period, no.
Okay, all right. Was this by email communications, or how was that conducted?
That may have been by email. I know we had some discussions with Mr. Tamur in person, which is why the timeline got a little bit confused.
Okay. Well, okay, sounds good. I appreciate your testimony on that. What I'll do is I'll leave the record open. Mr. Tamur, if you can find any email communications you had with Mr. Coy on the appeal deadline, you can give that to me after, or unless you have it now, that's even better. But
I have a copy for you.
Oh, of the email discussions? Okay. And does staff have a copy of this? Oh, yeah, why don't you give it? Yeah.
Can we also request that the documents that he gave you earlier, can we get a copy of those? Because I think they're part of the tree permit.
Yes.
But I just wanted
to. Oh, you don't? Okay. He said you had copies. So, all right. Okay. Yeah.
Not the same story. It's not this one. Okay. Right here.
Okay, how I'm going to handle the situation is I'm going to take the issue of whether, Mr. Tamir was misdirected on the appeal under advisement and decide after the hearing whether or not, there was a problem with the appeal deadline and whether or not the appeal, the tree permit will preclude you from arguing that the tree was sufficiently diseased to be taken down. But, I mean, the issue of the tree disease, though, is even if you can't argue that it wasn't sufficiently diseased to be taken down under city ordinances, it's also a factor for mitigation. I mean, if you can't argue that you weren't allowed to take the tree down, you can still argue that you had a good reason to take it down, and that, you know, is good cause to mitigate the fine. So either way, I think it's a valid issue to address today. So on that issue, I think I'm going to have the city present on, you know, why it determined that the tree wasn't adequately diseased to be taken down, and then you'll have an opportunity to respond to that, Mr. Tamur, and present evidence that it was adequately diseased and a danger and should have been taken down. So we'll make that relevant for today's proceeding. All right. So, Ms. Condon, do you have anyone here who's ready to testify about the diseased nature of the tree and taking it down?
That would be Tim.
Okay. Mr. Coy, if you could, you're still under oath, of course, if you could kind of, explain and present any evidence you have as to why the tree, you didn't consider the tree to be a sufficient danger or unhealthy to be taken down.
Correct. We were only notified of the tree being taken down after the fact. And then the arborist report that was submitted to me was a report that was after the fact. And the arborist listed reasons for the tree to be taken down, but there was no way for me to actually corroborate what was written in the report to see that what he was indicating was true. And based on what was written in the report, it seemed like there would be ways to mitigate the risk of the tree without having to remove it.
Okay. Is that, I mean, How did you come to that conclusion? I mean, what was about the tree made you believe it was sufficiently healthy? I mean, what traits, characteristics are you looking at when you make
So
that evaluation?
the only evidence we saw of the tree was what we were able to see on the satellite photos and like Google Street View, and everything from those pictures looked like the tree was perfectly sound and healthy. Some of the issues that were identified in the arborist report were things that you'd only be able to see if you were seeing it up close and in person. And there's no way that I could actually corroborate those findings just by the photos that we had available.
Okay, and Mr. Tremere said the top of the tree was split or something. Was that
That
reflected in the
was
arborist
listed in the
report?
report, but that was, something that I couldn't see, and the arborist didn't take any photos or anything for me to
Oh, he
look at.
didn't. Okay. And I mean, in your experiences, a tree that has some splitting on top usually stable tree or
It varies.
it varies.
And yeah, a lot of times arborists will sometimes maybe say the tree is more of a risk than is than it actually is in order to move forward with the tree removal. So that's part of my job is to go out and actually review these reports and see that the report is accurate to what they're telling me.
So under the city tree removal process, do they basically, before they remove a diseased tree, do they have to go to the city and get permission? Is that how it works? Basically, then you go out and verify. Is that
Basically,
the way it's supposed to
especially
work?
with landmark trees, and this is landmark trees are trees that are 26 inches or above in diameter. And this was, I believe, like 30 or 32 inches. So it would have been a landmark tree that would have had to have been a hazard or a nuisance to be able to be
I see.
removed.
Okay. All right. Mr. Tremere, do you have any questions of Mr. Coy? Oh, and Mr. Coy, Mr. Tremere, I think are the mics working down on the table there? Okay. Mr. Tremere, why don't you sit on the, or Mr. Yeah, Mr. Tremere, why don't you sit there and ask your questions to Mr. Coy while he's there? I just want to have both of you in front of a microphone, basically. So, yeah.
I think there's a button.
One, two, yes. So,
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
so
This is just questions of Mr. McCoy, and then once you're done with that, then you'll have an opportunity to present your side.
when it came to the tree was very tall and it held only branches onto to the top. And the wind, as the arborist report was saying, and the tree company, it's blowing really bad. So. It was tell even if you look on the Google map and you'll see that the tree was leaning towards the house, not much, but being so tall, the tenant was afraid. And
Okay, so right now we're just asking questions of Mr. Coy. This is cross-examination. Do you have any questions of him, of his testimony?
one of the things is to the second tree, which is rotten. If I present it to everybody, I know you have more experience than anybody else in the trees, but you acknowledge that that tree in a few years would have gone down.
Possibly. Yes, I observed that there was decay inside the tree. A lot of trees can continue to live for a long time with internal decay. So there wasn't sufficient evidence for me there to say that it was dead or dying.
Okay. One more question. Have you been to the site to see where the tree was located?
Yes.
Yeah, I was almost every time and the tenant, and nobody saw you coming and looking, going all the way in the back and see where the tree is. It's only 2 feet away from the foundation and it has a cross. That tree couldn't survive for too long. So that's all I want to say.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mr. Coy, for your testimony. Did Mr. Condon, did the city have any other testimony they want to provide on whether the tree was diseased or not, or was Mr. McCoy the extent of the information you wanted to share?
Oh, I don't have my presentation doesn't have anything to do with the tree permit or the
All right.
conditions
Okay.
of the tree. It has
Okay. Fine. All right. Okay. Mr. Tremere, why don't you present your side now of the tree removal? The disease, whether the tree was diseased or not, if you want.
like I have
Yeah.
the copies of the how it all started. It's just that's why I took the tree and I have this property for the last what 15, 20 years now. So the tree, it never bothered me. So the only reason I took the tree down is because the tenant was afraid. He brought the arborist report. on his expenses. And then that's why I gave in and I saw the evidence and the proof that it needs to go down. So that's why I took the tree down. And I think I did all the steps that needed to be done. The only thing, I didn't have a tree permit, which I didn't know that I have to have it for cutting a tree.
Okay. All right. Well, I have, okay. So Ms. Condon, you said you don't have copies of all the documents that I've
received. I think they're part of the tree permit, but I just wanted to confirm. Okay.
Yeah, let me, I'll list off the documents that Mr. Tremere gave me. Let me put together a little list here real quick. Okay, so I had the email exchanges regarding the appeal deadline. I'll say that's Appellant's Exhibit 1. I had a tree removal contract from an Evergreen Tree Care Company. Say that's Exhibit 2. Exhibit 3 is a letter from Mr. Tremere's arborist. And Mr. Tremere, this written letter, is this basically your arborist report? Is that what you've been referring to as an arborist report?
After I applied, I asked him to do another report, and it was done in after I applied for the permit.
Okay.
So, because the city asked for more proof, so I went back, I contacted him, and he did this letter in May of this year.
Okay. And like I said, I think the the extent of the disease is relevant to mitigation of fines. So if you have the original arborist report, I can take a look at that as well.
I think I give it to you. No? Yes. I can give you a copy so I can hold on the original, but it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, I think we'll make Exhibit 4 then the original arborist report. Exhibit 3 is the follow-up letter from the arborist.
And also there's a letter from the tree company stating the...
This is from Jacob Randall, is that right? Okay, so we'll say Exhibit 5 is a letter from Jacob Randall. Exhibit 6 is a letter from Spencer King, the tenant. And Exhibit 7 is a tree stump, is that right? The diseased tree, okay. All right. Just ask the city. Does the city have any objections over entry of these, or do you need to look at any of them?
I don't have any objection to those.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put them in the record then.
Oh,
no. Go ahead.
Question.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'd like to verify and ask if Mr. Tremere is a certified tree arborist.
No, I'm not.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Tremere, anything else you want to say at this point to, why the fine should be reduced or why the tree wasn't diseased?
I think I prove the reason the tree was down and that I didn't do anything wrong. And I think the fine should be removed. I'm okay planting the trees and allowing me to go on with my development.
Okay.
They put a hold on the property, but, let's just forget it. Let me go on with my property and developing on it.
So, okay, sounds good. I think appreciate your comments. And you'll have a chance to respond after Ms. Condon is done with her presentation if you have anything else you want to say today. So, all right. And Ms. Condon, what we're doing today might be just a little confusing, a little different because, the NOV cites the improper removal of trees. It actually doesn't say it's because the fines weren't paid on time, I believe, in the violation section. So, when we come to the hearing today, the issue is were the trees improperly removed or not. But you had the original, I think that the primary legal argument of the city is that the tree permit wasn't appealed and therefore we can't actually contest. We're just doing a mitigation hearing today. But Mr. Tamer now has raised the issue that possibly that tree permit isn't binding because he was misdirected on the appeal deadline. And that's something I'm going to be considering after the fact. And, and so maybe the merits of whether or not the tree was diseased, is up for review. I mean, he's admitted to having the trees removed. The only issue that is contested, if he still can contest it, is whether the tree was sufficiently diseased or not, to merit removal. But so beyond that, before you get in your presentation too, I'm also a little curious that, the code's a little ambiguous about the examiner's authority to modify the fines. From what I recall, that the code says that in an NOV hearing, the examiner can modify the fines specified in section 1.22 something. And that wasn't the tree fine. That was just the daily $100 fine. So I don't know if the city has any position on the hearing examiner authority to waive the tree fines, which are substantially more than, those $100 fines or if they've dealt with that. But so with that, do you have any questions about what we're doing at this point, or does it make sense? Okay.
Yeah, this is the first hearing I've done as a code enforcement officer too. So, well, in general, so.
Yeah, fun for you. Well, this is more complicated than they usually are. I'm sorry to say. They're very straightforward usually.
I do think that if we're going to wrap up the conversation about the health of the trees and the tree permit process, though, it would be good to call Tim back up to speak to what an arborist report, what he looks for in an arborist report.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And like I said, I don't have the original yet, so I don't even know what it looks like. I'm going to be getting that after, but yeah, go ahead, Mr. Clay.
Sorry, what was the question?
Sorry, explain what is expected in a quality arborist report when you review the documentation for tree removal permits.
Sure. So typically we ask for a narrative of the condition of the tree, and a lot of times that includes a, let's call it a tree risk assessment form, which kind of goes through the details of the conditions of the tree, the potential targets that could be impacted if the tree were to fail, and mitigation options available in order to reduce the risk of the tree. From what I recall of the arborist report that was submitted, it listed everything as being an imminent risk and imminent risk to hit the nearby targets, which is the house. And there were inconsistencies within the report that weren't properly filled out. Like there wasn't a timeline for the chance of a tree failure. And there weren't sufficient options for mitigation of it, not to mention me not being able to actually verify the conditions of the tree as they presented in the report.
Okay. Do you have any more questions of your witness, Ms. Condon?
I don't think we have any. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions for Tim. No, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Okay. Tamer, any questions of Mr. Condon on his or Koyov's just in testimony?
I see his side.
Oh, this is just time for questions. Yeah, okay. Any questions? Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Coy. All right, Ms. Condon. Anything else you want to say? I think you said you had a presentation about the fines. Yes. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, I just have so I'm John Regala, planning supervisor.
Sure. Yeah.
I just have a question about the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went into this hearing being prepared. So Samantha's presentation is actually just on the what happened and then the mm-hmm. fines and restoration aspect of it. And I guess I'm just asking it for clarity. Like, are we now switching gears and actually getting into the, like an appeal of the tree permit decision essentially?
Well, the NOV cites that as the basis. This is unpermitted removal of two regulated trees is the violation here. That's what the NOV was. And then, I understood that the city's argument on that would be that the appeal permit wasn't, the tree permit wasn't appealed, and therefore the violations have to be deemed, violated, essentially. So, Yeah, nor if that had held up, then all we'd be talking about is mitigation of fines. And when you talk about mitigation of fines, then usually you have the violator then be the first one to talk to give their reasons, so the staff has something to respond to, because we're just talking about the equities of the situation and you have to hear from the violator first. But Mr. Tamura, like I said, had brought up the fact that possibly that you know, the original tree permit could be challenged because he was misdirected as to the appeal date. And so it's within the scope of how the NOV was written that he can challenge the violation, and therefore that's pertinent today. But it is, he admits that he removed the trees. The only issue is whether it was diseased or not. So I was just giving staff full opportunity to discuss that. If you want to leave the record open for additional written comment on that particular issue, that's fine. Like I said, I don't know yet at this point if I would rule that Mr. Timmer can bring up, you know, the original violations. I still have to look at over the email exchanges, look at a little case law to see, you know, so that's why I said I'm taking that under advisement. And also, like I said, you know, the extent to which that tree was diseased is a mitigating factor for reducing the fine as well. You know, I mean, if he had a really good, you know, because obviously these tree fines are set really high to prevent property owners from taking them down to improve their property value, because, you know, if the fine is just $300 and they can improve their value by $10,000, I mean, that's no disincentive at all. And you know, in this case, it sounds like it wasn't an issue of trying to protect his property value. He had a valid, you know, desire to prevent a hazard on his property. And so evidence about the degree of that hazard is pertinent to that one issue and pertinent to whether the fine should be reduced. So either way, the disease issue, I think, is an important part of this hearing.
And I'd like to offer, I guess, clarification on the NOV. Mm-hmm. The code provisions that were violated are specifically the failure to pay or the fine assessment and then the restoration requirement. I know that in the description of the violation, yeah, I give a detail of the trees, history, okay, of the trees being removed, but the violations that are the provisions that are violated are actually the assessment of tree fines and the restoration,
okay,
requirement.
Okay. But, you know, like I say, I mean, if he didn't commit the violation, that's pertinent to whether, you know, the fine should be reduced too. So either way, yeah, it's okay. But I was wondering about that. I see that there. Yeah. All right. So, but I, like I said, I mean, if staff needs more time to talk about whether or not the tree was actually diseased or not, I can certainly leave the record open for that purpose. But otherwise, I think everything else you had prepared is certainly relevant. You know, like I say, there's a good chance I'll find that, that tree permit still, you know, denial still holds up, and that you can't revisit whether the violation occurred or not, except to the extent that it's pertinent to mitigation. So I think everything you had ready probably is still going to be very important to this proceeding.
I practice a lot, so I would like to do my presentation.
Okay, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
At the beginning. Thank you. Okay. So a lot of this is information that we've already gone through, but I'm going to go through it in a chronological time order. We know the case number COM24-00187 for a violation of the Kirkland Municipal Code, which regulates civil penalties assessed and restoration for trees that are illegally removed. I would like to enter this PowerPoint presentation as Exhibit B, I guess, for the cities. I do have copies of it. All the information is the same as in the staff report. It's just in a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, and let's see. Make sure I got the numbering correct. Okay, so Exhibit A with its 21 attachments would be the staff report with its 21 attachments is Exhibit A. This is Exhibit B.
And I have copies of it if Yeah.
All right. Okay. Mr. Tamura, do you have any objection over the staff PowerPoint being part of the record, or do you want to see it first? Okay. So he said no objection. So I'll let that in. Okay. Go ahead.
So, like we've discussed, the issues that we would like to be reviewed during this hearing are the following. Is Cornell and Magdalena Tamura's failure to pay tree fines in violation of Kirkland Municipal Code 1.12-100C4, which establishes fines for unlawfully removed trees? And is Cornell and Magdalena Tamura's failure to submit for and complete tree restoration a violation of Kirkland Municipal Code 1.12.100D, tree site and site restoration? This is the subject property is located at 13506 132nd Avenue Northeast, Kirkland, Washington 98034. It's zoned RSA6 and contains a single family residence. It's in the Kingsgate neighborhood just north of 132nd Square Park. The image on the left is an aerial of the vicinity, and on the right is a closer look at the property. This image here is a pictometry layer showing the unpermitted removal of the 18-inch deciduous tree and the 30-inch pine on April 29th, 2023. The two trees that were removed without permits are circled in red. One is the 18-inch tree on the left, and then the other is the 30-inch pine stripped of its branches. The picture here shows, trees on the day that they were removed. On May 7, 2024, City of Kirkland planner Alex Kaiser reported via email to code enforcement that a landmark tree was removed at the subject property. He discovered that the tree removal during a first review of the land surface modification permit that had been submitted for the development of the property. When asked about the tree removal, Mr. Turmer claimed that the tree was hazardous. Mr. Turmer was instructed to apply for a tree permit so that any documentation he had about the tree's condition could be reviewed by the development review arborist. If the tree had been found to be hazardous, the removal would have been approved. On May 17th, 2024, a tree permit, TRE24-03938, was applied for by Mr. Turmer for the removal of one landmark tree. On June 11th, additional trees were discovered to have been removed from the property without permits. The planner, Alex Kaiser, emailed Mr. Turmer with instructions to revise the existing tree permit application. The tree permit application was revised to include three apple trees marked by the larger circle to the south of the property, and then the 18-inch deciduous tree, the smaller circle. You can refer to attachment 7 in the staff report of Exhibit A, but this is what that image is, the image is of. On July 12th, 2024, Tim Coy, the City of Kirkland Development Review Arborist, issued a decision letter of the permit denying the removal of the 18-inch deciduous tree and the 30-inch pine tree. The apple trees were determined not to be regulated trees and were allowed to be removed without penalty. Mr. Turmer was given instructions in the denial letter on how to file an appeal of the tree permit application decision. The deadline to file an appeal of the decision was 5 p.m. on July 29, 2024. An appeal was not filed. On July 31, 2024, Tim Coy emailed me to refer the unpermitted tree removal to code enforcement for the assessment of tree fines and the required restoration. I referred to Kirkland Municipal Code Table 1.12-100 civil penalty fines to determine that the fines for the illegal tree removals are $4,000 for the 18-inch deciduous tree and $16,000 for the 30-inch pine tree, for a total fine of $20,000. This was a first-time violation, so no multiplier was applied. I referred to Kirkland Municipal Code Table 1.12.101, tree credits for illegally removed trees, to determine that the 18-inch deciduous tree replanting requirement is 5 trees and that the 30-inch pine tree requirement is 11 trees for a total of 16 trees required to be replanted for restoration. On August 6, I mailed a letter and a notice of tree fines and restoration due, which was mailed first class and certified. I also emailed the letter to Mr. Turmer on August 7th. The deadline to pay the fines and submit a restoration plan was August 24th or 21st, 2024. On August 7th, Mr. Turmer called me to discuss the tree fine amount and the required restoration plan. He disagreed with the amount of the fine and asked what the next step would be in the process. During this phone call, I explained that if he chose not to pay the fines and to submit a restoration plan by the deadline, the next step in the code enforcement process would be to issue a notice of civil violation and schedule a hearing before the hearing examiner. I also explained that we had payment plan options that could be set up for the payment of the fines, and that if he had mitigating circumstances to submit in writing to the city, that he could do so to ask for a fine reduction or waiver. He followed that phone conversation with an email request to move straight to a hearing. On August 9th, Mr. Turmer emailed me with a request that the 18-inch deciduous tree be removed from the report. Any timelines for compliance were paused while this request was being discussed with management. On August 22nd, I emailed Mr. Turmer with the result of the discussion with management about his request. The request was denied as the development review arborist had already determined that the evidence of the conditions of the 18-inch deciduous tree provided during the tree permit review were insufficient and its removal was denied. I set a new deadline of September 4th for payment of the fines and submittal of a restoration plan. On August 23rd, Mr. Turmer responded to my August 22nd email asking why there was a new deadline for the payment of fines since he had already requested to go straight to a hearing. I explained that the timelines were held in abeyance until we could get him an answer to his request, and that I also responded on the same day that I would remove the case to the next step, which would be to issue a notice of civil violation. This image here is the first notice of civil violation that was issued, and then the revised notice of civil violation. On August 28th, a notice of civil violation was issued with a compliance date of September 13th and a hearing date of October 3rd. On September 17th, I received confirmation that the next available hearing date, and emailed Mr. Turmer with that information, and that the notice of civil violation would be revised with the correct date and mailed and emailed to him. On September 19th, a revised NOCV was mailed and emailed to him. On that same day, a declaration of service was executed. In reviewing the documents for this hearing, I did realize that the mailing date on the revised notice was incorrect as it had not been updated since I used the same template. However, the hearing date had been confirmed by Mr. Turmer via email, and we are all here today. As of the date of this hearing, the assessed fines have not been paid and the required restoration plan has not been submitted or completed. Therefore, the city is asking that Cornelia Magdalena Turmer be required to pay the civil penalty fines in the amount of $20,000 within 7 days of the hearing examiner's decision, be required to submit a restoration plan within 7 days of the hearing examiner's decision, and be required to complete the work associated with the restoration plan within 30 days of the hearing examiner's decision. We're also asking that if the fines are not paid and the restoration plan is not submitted and completed, we're asking that they be assessed $100 per day from the date of the hearing examiner's decision and to continue until the fines have been paid in full and a restoration plan has been submitted and completed. And that is the conclusion of my presentation.
Okay. Mr. Turmer, any questions of Ms. Condon?
I don't know what to say. It's just, I think at this point is we can come to mitigating, I'm doing something, you know, I'll put the trees, waive the fine, let me go on and everything should be fine. I mean, I have nothing, but the city has, you know, if I don't comply, they have such heavy fines and stuff like this. But what about if I find them at the wrong? Can I do the same? But I don't want to go that. I just want to finish this and let go on with the project.
I'd like to also make a statement that in multiple conversations that we've had, I have expressed that if there are mitigating circumstances regarding the amount of the fine, et cetera, please put those in writing and submit them to the city so that we can consider them for the fine amount and any other, like the restoration requirement and everything. And to date, nothing has been submitted to the city to in writing for us to consider, because this, the amount of the fine is not something that I can just waive. It would be something that had to be considered by the director, and that information would have had to be submitted in writing to him. And to date, nothing's been submitted to us.
And that relates to my question is, is the city opposed to any mitigation of the fines, or does the city, is the city position I have the authority to reduce those fines? I think I do. It's, like I said, the code was a little ambiguous on that because it seemed to be just referring to the $100 daily fines, but I haven't studied that closely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in KMC, our code enforcement provisions for tree removal, illegal tree removal, it states that the hearing examiner may impose any appropriate fines for such violations as well as require restoration or fees in lieu of restoration.
Okay.
So you do have the ability.
That's good. Okay. I guess Ms. Condon, I guess you can't speak for your director, but when it comes to mitigation of fines, like I kind of mentioned before, I think the reason why these fines are so high is to prevent people from having the financial incentive to do it. And so it seems to me a really pertinent factor in the analysis of fine mitigation is, was this person removing it to improve the value of their property? And in this case, the answer seems to be no. And like I said, that's why I think, the diseased nature of the tree is such a central issue to this mitigation issue, because if in fact it really was he had a reasonable belief that his property was in danger, I think that's a pretty good mitigating factor. I mean, do you feel comfortable commenting on that, whether that should be considered a mitigating factor?
I mean, in discussions that we had internally about one, we didn't actually receive a request to reduce or waive the fine.
I see.
In writing. I asked multiple times to get something in writing so that it could be discussed. I did have the discussion with my supervisor and on up through management about what we could do. Part of that discussion was the health of the trees, et cetera. However, the tree permit decision was made, and we didn't feel like we could go against what the tree permit decision was.
Mm-hmm.
If I said, hey, I'm going to reduce your fines by $5,000 because I do think the trees were diseased. I'm not an arborist. I'm not I can't assess that. We do rely heavily on our development review arborist who is certified to review the information in front of him.
Although, I think when it comes to fine mitigation, it's more a focus on did he reasonably believe that it was diseased, even if he may in fact have been wrong,
Well, the discussions too went to instantly as soon as the fines were assessed. It was the conversations revolved around, I'm not going to pay these fines. What's the next step? There wasn't a conversation, even though I asked for in writing, of course, a reason to reduce fines. Okay. I'm more than happy to. I just don't
I'd
have.
I'd like to add to this.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Well, every time when I came, she was very nice. She talked to me, even the supervisor, they were, I cannot complain. And they were very nice. And she advised. But the misunderstanding was, I thought that I have to present it here. And even with the restoration, because I submitted to the city the development and shows the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a little bit the miscommunication to present it to you. I said, I thought, why I have to go first here, see what it is, because it's pointless to, because we have to come to the hearing examiner anyway. So sorry for that, if the misunderstanding putting into writing, but you were very nice trying to help the situation, and I appreciate that. So that's why it hasn't been done, because I said I have to come here and present it and then see what it needs to be done.
Okay. And sir, you had a comment or question?
Oh, I was just going to add to Samantha's comment was, given kind of the circumstances, the tree permit being approved, denied, not appealed, discussions with Mr. Turmer. And then if we felt that at that point, when the notice of civil violation was issued, that, the appropriate forum at this point for the mitigation discussion would be with the hearing examiner, okay, and that Mr. Turmer would be able to present his case.
Okay. One more thing. I don't know if Samantha remembered with some of our conversation, I said, even though I don't feel that I did something wrong, if it's a small fine to close the chapter, I tried every single time, even with Adam, I said, let's try to negotiate. I always was trying to, we were here. This is what the situation. Let's just move it forward. So I tried to do my best to.
Right. And we historically mitigate. The things that we take into consideration when we're dealing with tree fine reduction is going to be financial hardship. And any other, I guess, mostly financial hardship is the experience that I have, but I didn't receive anything that in writing. And I know that in conversations I had with you was to say, please submit in writing to me a reason to. So, and unfortunately I didn't receive anything. And so this is where we ended up.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else anyone needs to say to address the NOV today? Now, Mrs. Condon, if you want, I could leave the record open so that the city can consider Mr. Turmer's request for, a reduced fine, so it could provide a recommendation for a reduced fine. I don't know. It sounds like maybe you just want to give it to me at this point, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Is that,
yes.
Yeah, that's where it rests. Okay. All right. Happy to do that. So, okay, I will, unless anyone has anything else to say, I'm going to go ahead and close the hearing. And yeah, I mean, this is definitely not a situation where you have a developer going in the middle of the night and cutting a bunch of trees, hoping the city doesn't catch him, to improve the value of a development project. This is pretty far on the opposite extreme. Oh, Mr. Tamura, actually, I didn't. So there are two trees at issue. One of them was diseased. Why was the other one cut down? What was the reason for
It
that?
says in the report the branches were cracked on top and the crown, the
So
tree
that you
was.
consider that a danger tree too? Is
Yes,
that okay?
that's
All
what.
right. Okay. Okay. So that's why you took them
And it
both
says
down.
in the arborist report the trunk was cut. It was only a small crown to the top, and it's been
Yeah.
dead for
Yeah.
long years. And it leaned towards the house, and the branches were cracked below.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I mean, it'd definitely be a fine reduction. I don't know how much, but it's something I'll have to think about. Does the city have past examiner decisions on fine reductions at all for tree removal, or is this like a first time kind of? Because I like to try to be consistent, with how the city has
Yeah,
made
not that I
decisions.
can recall.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I've done a lot of these for other jurisdictions, so I think I can come up with something fair. I just want to be consistent with how the city has treated other people before, sir.
Before you close the hearing, we
Oh, sure.
would like for you to consider if you can keep at least the record open,
Okay.
because we haven't really had a chance to review the arborist. And
No.
I understand it happened with the tree removal permit, but more recently, we haven't reviewed that. So we may decide to provide a rebuttal to that.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. How much time do you need?
1 week. Is that fine? 1 week would be okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm just trying to think about. I got my computer working here. Okay, so that would be due the, we'll say the 14th. And Mr. Tamura, if you have any responsive comments to that, since I'm going to make that burden on you, burden of proof, that would be by the 12th. Any, if they, yeah, well, the city's going to, might come up with a written response to your arborist findings, and then
Yes,
it'll
I
be
mean,
emailed to you.
I'm
And if,
surprised that they didn't look until now. So,
Yeah. Well, if you want to respond to any
okay.
comments they have, you'll have until the 12th. So,
Thanks.
okay. All right. I think with that, like I said, I think, yeah, there's certainly grounds for a fine reduction here. It's just an issue of how much. Sorry, the procedure got just a little confused because we had a decision that hadn't been appealed, but then it's a legal doctrine called equitable tolling, where you can say that the appeal deadline is waived to the extent it was, there was a little misdirection there. So that complicates things a little bit. But like I said, either way, the issue of whether the tree was diseased or not and how much and how reasonable it was believed that it had to be taken down, I think it's going to be a major factor in this case. So.
Do I have opportunity to make one more comment?
Yeah, sure.
I think that it's important to note that that Mr. Turmer has knowledge. I know that he has said that he does not ha did not have knowledge of the tree permitting process in Kirkland, but he has developed projects in Kirkland and built before. And part of that project or those projects, past projects, does have do have conditions on the permits for tree removal or getting permits prior to tree removal, et cetera. And we can supply those permit numbers, et cetera, if necessary.
So, Mr. Furrer, what's your response to that? How come, I mean, if you do develop in Kirkland, how can you say you didn't know that you needed
I don't
permits?
understand the question of her.
Well, Ms. Condon says that you've done other development in the city, and in those other developments, there were conditions requiring you to get tree permits and things. So she's saying, how can you say you don't know about the city's tree requirements when you've been subjected to them before?
Yes. Isn't in this edit that you can cut a tree down without a permit? That's what I know, that you can cut a tree without getting a permit if it's in danger.
Well,
So,
she's saying you've had other development projects where you were told you had to get a permit, so you knew you have to get permits in some cases.
so it's it, it, yeah, I mean, if I can let my wife talk about it, she's part of it. If not, I can say it.
Oh. It's up to you, whichever one of you want to speak. Okay, Mr. Murr, you have to go up to the there. Let me swear in. You swear firm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding. Okay, go.
I just wanted to clarify, just because my husband, English is a second language, so it's sometimes hard to understand. So what she's saying is why we didn't apply for permit, because we've had previous developments, but that was because at those times we had the intention of developing that property. So, you know, we went into that development with the knowledge of that. But when he removed the tree, or we had this tree removed at this property, we had no intention of development. So we went into it as property owners. And he was under the impression that as a property owner, you can take down a tree if it's diseased or endangered.
Even at that time in the past, I worked with developers. I don't know too much of the. So it was, what, 10 or 15 years ago when I did that development, the same property. So I worked with the engineers. So whatever they put it on, even now, I don't know all the laws and stuff. So
oh, you're saying you relied on the contractors to get
exactly.
the permits and
so
things
it's
and
not that I knew.
Attention.
So I don't have knowledge of it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else? No? Okay, good. Yes, yeah, so I'll look forward to the city's comments. And again, do you need any copies of these exhibits that I got today? Or I can leave that with you and you guys can email me back the copies. That would work. Okay, all right. Well, thank you all for participating today. And I get a couple of weeks to write up that decision. Like I said, you can expect a reduction. It's just an issue of how much. And if the city, you know, if you within the by the 14th, if you have some information on how fines have been reduced in the past, again, I like to try to be consistent with past practices. So, you know, feel free to include that in the information. And Mr. Murr, you'll have an opportunity to respond to any information provided. So I think with that, we're adjourned for today.